Fleur podcast would like to acknowledge the traditional owners on the lands on which we've recorded each episode, which is the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we pay our respects to their elders, both past, present, and emerging.
Welcome back to Coffee with Fleur. Hello, Fleur.
Hi, David. I've got my coffee and I'm not going to spill it this time. I've got a lid on it this time.
Okay. Keep a lid on it, Fleur.
That's not very nice.
No, it's fine. Actually, we're here to talk again about one of your passions, which is why you're so excitable.
Why I knocked the table over.
We're here to continue talking about smart work design. Now, if listeners didn't hear the last episode, really recommend you rewind. Just pause this one now, go back, listen to that, then come back to this one.
It's only like 15 minutes or something, less than 15 minutes.
15 minutes. Give you a bit of background as to what smart design is, but today we're going to take that one stage further and think about how we as individuals can do things in our working lives and our personal lives to ensure that we do have good balance and we are working in a smart way. But for anyone who didn't listen last time, can you just remind us what smart work design is?
Yeah, so again, sort of borrowed from smart goal setting. Smart work design, developed by Professor Sharon Parker, from Curtin University, talks about these five psychologically significant elements in our work that can contribute to positive levels of well-being, or actually detract if they're not present. So S meaning our work is stimulating, we're, you know, able to have problem solving and so forth. Mastery, where we're able to have the right level of mastery to do our jobs and to build and learn and grow through our work. Agency or autonomy, so we've got some sense of control or choice in our work. And relational, so having positive relationships, whether that's colleagues, leaders, stakeholders, what have you, and tolerable demand, so that we have a level of demand in our work. We're always going to have that, but it's got to be tolerable. So within, you know, it can't be excessive, but it can't be low demands either. That can be detrimental too. So very excited about it. I just resonate with it so much, as you can tell. That's why I spilt my coffee last time. And I love to work with leaders, with organisations on all the really different ways that we can create smart work design for their people, because it's something that we can't just set and forget. It's a continuous process. But also, as I said in the last episode, we as individuals, we've got a level of agency and autonomy to adjust our work so that it is more smart. So obviously there's sometimes things outside of our control, or we rely on the organisation or our leaders or managers to change. But there is a really terrific aspect of our work called job crafting that is what we call a bottom-up approach. Yep. So something we can do to make our jobs more smart or more fulfilling, more satisfactory for us.
So we've all got our own formal jobs or position descriptions and the tasks we have to do.
Yes.
But are you saying in around that there's a bit of leeway?
Yeah, there's absolutely things that we generally, as long as we haven't got a super micromanager leading us, which hopefully no one who's listening to this has that situation, we can do things in our work to make it more stimulating and have more agency and be more relational and so forth. So at the conference that I mentioned to you, David, that I went to earlier this year, there was a gentleman by the name of Rob Baker, and he runs an organisation called Tailored Thinking. It's in the UK.
Right,
he's a fabulous guy that talks a lot about job crafting, and I love his definition of it. So he says to think about your job similar to having a semi-tailored suit or dress. So the design, the basic design is there, and you can't change it. But what you can do is make some changes to the size and the dimensions of your suit or dress to make it feel better and make it a more sort of comfortable fit for you. So when you do wear it, it feels better and it feels more like you. So that's his description. I really like that sort of metaphor.
That is so good. I love that.
Yeah. So that we can do this with our jobs. We can, we've got the, like you said, the task, the job description or what have you that we're given, but we can make these slight tweaks or alterations.
I love the fact that it's expressed that it makes it more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It's a better fit for you.
Yes. Yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah. So you're not, you know, designing your job from scratch. You know, you're just making changes to it.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
it
you've
feels
got to
better.
Do your, what your job is, but your basic tasks.
Yeah.
But around the edges, there's things you can do to make it a more comfortable fit.
Yes.
And I guess increase your happiness in performing that role.
Absolutely. That's the whole point, really, because we're more likely to be more engaged. We're going to enjoy our work more. It feels like we've got a better sense of purpose. We're going to perform better. So what leader doesn't want that?
Absolutely.
What individual doesn't want that?
Exactly what I was going to say. What individual doesn't want that? I mean,
yeah, and look, I can probably say that most people listening have probably done some sort of job crafting without knowing that's the term that it is,
okay.
You know. So, David, I'm sure you have at some point in some of your jobs have crafted it or tailored it to be a better fit for you.
Yeah, well, you've got me thinking. One of my current jobs, actually, as a change professional, change advisor, I can think back to when I started in that role. It was just me. I was doing the discipline of change support, and I was doing all the tasks.
Yeah.
But I certainly realized that if it was going to be just me, then I was missing an element I really enjoyed, and that was coaching or mentoring people.
Yeah, yes.
And so I set up a group that had was a really group of talented individuals from around the organization I was in.
Yes.
To learn about change. And so I was able to pass on my, remember the acronym? M-Mastery.
Yeah. Yes. Well done.
Thank you. To then hopefully inspire and develop a whole group of other people.
Yeah,
and
great.
So I really enjoyed doing that.
Yes.
And yes, it was part of my role, but it was more shifting tailoring, to use that analogy.
Yes.
The emphasis to include that a little bit more, which made me very happy.
Yes. And what I love about that, David, is it benefited you as the individual, but it also benefited all those people in that group, but as well as the organisation. So again, this is why it's not yoga, it's not meditation and classes. I mean, yes, good, do that. Job design is so much more effective at supporting people's well-being. So there are lots of different ways that we can craft our work or, you know, do job crafting. So we can craft the activities and the way we do those activities. Often these are like just process improvements, actually.
Sure.
We can craft, you know, the relationships, we can build new connections, we can craft the meaning of our work, we can craft our skills. I think, you know, that's something.
Certainly is something that I do quite a bit. I don't feel fulfilled unless I'm constantly learning. I'm a lifelong learner.
Yes.
Who'd have thought? It certainly wasn't that at school, but here we are now, and I can't get anything.
I can relate
learning.
To that too. So
I'm always doing some sort of course, some sort of professional development.
Yes.
And trying to build my skills.
Yes, which taps into the mastery.
Yes.
So there are just the different elements. Oh, I think there's some noisy people in the cafe.
The cool customers coming in.
There's you think of smart work design, there's a lot, you can go through each of those and think about the ways you can craft your work. So it's hard to cover all of this in our little 15-minute podcast episode, but that's where we'd love people to get in touch so we can sort of support you with the different ideas and ways that you can craft your job so that it is more supportive of your well-being, or even leaders or organisations. You know, this is something that's so easy to do and so motivating for people. And again, I'm almost spilling my coffee.
I can see how motivated you are.
The more I talk about it, the more excited I get. So maybe that's a good place to kind of leave it.
Well, if people are interested in this, Fleur, where do they find you?
Well, Fleur Mouchemore, as you said, I should have said my name before. But I think, you know, you can get the details on LinkedIn. You can contact us through our Instagram
account. Yeah, we have an Instagram account, Coffee with Fleur. Search us up. Get in contact there.
Yes.
Or, as Fleur says, LinkedIn is a great place to find us as well. And particularly if you want to learn more about smart work design. If you're a leader, I'm interested in making sure your settings in your organisation are correct for that.
Mm.
Or as an individual who would like a bit more coaching on how to do that, Fleur is your person. I think buy a coffee with Fleur and you'll be your way, and you'll learn so much.
Yeah,
I do every time.
And we'll obviously put all this in the show notes too.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, thank you, Fleur.
No, that's my pleasure. Really, I love sharing about smart work design and job crafting.
It's been a really good two-parter, and certainly it's got me thinking and more aware of everything that goes on in my world and how I perform and have all those settings balanced in my role.
Great.
We'll see you soon in a couple of weeks, where we'll talk about another area of change and well-being.
Fantastic. I'll talk to you then.
Thank you so much, Fleur.
Okay, see you, David.